From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and I brought him again. I keep bringing him back. Hey, I think I kind of like him.
Look, she kind of like me. That's right. Look, after all these years, fellas, when your girl says she still likes you, that is a good thing. You know, because sometimes, guys, man, you forgot to pick up them socks.
Or bring the trash cans back in.
Okay, Dr. Funderburk, let's not air all the personal stuff that we have at the house. I will definitely go get the trash cans today. It will not stay out there another day. Okay, so now that you put that on Aggieland.
Mm-hmm, sure did. Sometimes you got to know what buttons to push.
Man, ain't that, look, guys, I keep trying to tell Dr. Funderburk, don't bring personal business on the air. Okay, so Dr. Funderburk.
Yes, sir.
I do try to give you a name for this particular week.
You do, every time.
Every time. And of course, Dr. Funderburk, this is an old name that we have used before.
It is.
So every now and then.
I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
Okay.
You know, every now and then you got to go into the archives and pull
the
out.
Vault.
The vault of names.
Okay, so you went back to the vault.
I went back to the vault. And Dr. Funderburk, I want you to call me Mr.
You missed her again?
Mister.
Now, you know, I mean, I think we all know who Mister is. And, you know, Mister almost got it. He almost got cut.
Dr. Funderburk. Now, guys, you know, I tried.
That's not what you were thinking?
No. At least I wasn't thinking that particular story of Mister.
Okay.
But when your spouse tells you, you know what happened to Mister, I'm like, what? I mean, come on now. You can't be talking like that on the air.
I didn't say Lorena Bobbitt was misunderstood. Ooh!
Okay, see, now she really went there.
Y'all that gonna was, have to look it up see, if you don't
sad.
Remember.
That was
that was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke. Okay, y'all, that was a joke.
That was way below the belt line.
Literally.
And that means, Dr. Funderburk,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to send a referral to your therapist that you are in need of some immediate therapy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That's
okay.
Right. But so make sure, without any of your puns and laughter.
I was just kidding. The last one I was kidding.
This particular week, I want you to call me Mr.
Mr.
Yeah.
So I get to fill in the blank of what comes after Mr.?
No. The name is Mr. M-R, you can do, you know, M-R for short.
M-R, I just call you M-R.
Well, M-R, you know, when you're spelling my name, you can just say, you know, just put M-R, period.
Okay, I can put the abbreviation. I don't have to spell it out.
No, you can just do M-R.
Period. Okay, so why is that your name?
So, look, because it has a significance. You know, when you think about names, and again, this is part two. This is our part two from our previous discussion. We were talking about who am I?
Yes, that's right.
And
we were.
And when that deals with your identity and how you identify yourself, how you show up. You know, when you walk out your door, you've got an identity, really, to be honest, before you even walk out the door. You know, while you even home, I mean, you're in your own home, when you step, you know, off the bed or what have you, you've got an identity.
That's right, you do. And what you are called matters. What you allow yourself to be called matters. And we also last week kind of dove into how, you know, parents have a big role in how our children are identified. And, you know, are they going to be identified as something positive or something negative or something that they think is benign, but it really has kind of an underlying meaning in there? I definitely did ask my mama about Eatmo. I said, I did get that right, right? I wasn't just making that up.
That's right. Because you, and again, for those that didn't hear the show from the previous week.
From last week. Yes.
A cousin.
Mm-hmm. That they called Eatmo when she was growing up. And I went back to my mom to say, like, I did get that right, right? You said that, you know, cousin so-and-so was called Eatmo. And she was like, yeah. I said, why did y'all call her that? And she said, because, you know, she would be at my grandma's house, which was my mom. And so my cousin's grandmother, too. Right. She would be at her grandma's house, my grandma's house, and she would eat dinner over there. And then she would go over to her dad's house and eat eat whatever, you know, was being served over there. And so that would, I guess, was a regular occurrence for her. And Eatmo became her name because she got a little thicker. You know, because she ate a lot. And so I just remember being like, even again, as an adult, I'm like, Mama, y'all called her Eatmo for real?
That's right. Look, I mean, because we all, y'all know what it's like, you know, growing up. And, you know, sometimes you may have different nicknames or names. Dr. Funderburg, do you have a name when you were growing up? Did your parents or your family or friends give you a name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, well, you know. So I had my name for short was Nan.
Yeah, I can see that.
Uh-huh.
Very benign.
And, you know, you call me Net.
That's right.
So just, you know, my name has been shortened. But my dad called me Tinkerbell.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Tinkerbell. Why is that? Because of that little fairy thing? Or?
Well, I think another cousin started calling me that, and I guess my dad liked it, and so that's what he called me. You met him, and he was still calling me Tinkerbell.
Every now and then, I slip Tinkerbell out every now and then.
Yeah, you do. It don't sound the same when you do it.
You know, when I think, oh, no, it doesn't. You know, ain't not like your daddy. You know, when your daddy call you something, you know, oh, that's my daddy.
But he would even shorten Tinkerbell to Tinker.
Well, that is true. I do remember him doing that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's interesting, though, because, I mean, see here, I was called, of course, you know, Keith. That's my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
My government name or my first name was Alfonso, and I was named after an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He was a twin. His twin was Alonzo and Alfonso. And, of course, for those who should know, may not know, I have a twin brother. He's deceased now, but his name was Alonzo, and I'm Alfonso.
Mm-hmm.
But I go by my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And then when also I was called twin a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Twin. I mean, it's
you're
like.
You're called twin to this day, even which to this is day, what we mentioned as well.
It was like a little family name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people call me Burke at the end of that Funderburk. You know, that's a difficult name for some people.
Yeah. It is, because for those of you who I try to enunciate our name when I say it at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I know a lot of people, it can be easy to hear that the F and the TH sounds get mixed up a lot in language in general.
That's right.
So a lot of times people don't call us Funderburks with an F.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's Funder. So it's Funderburk with an F as in Frank, but they will hear what?
Yeah, they hear thunder.
They hear thunder clouds or thunderstorm. And sometimes people even say bird.
That's right, Thunderbird. Uh-huh. So I'm hoping they're referring to the car and not the wine. But
Oh, well.
But you know what, though? I had to tell you this. Though,
oh, okay.
Even,
yes, sir.
Even prior to the show, you know, I was thinking about how names, looking back in history,
mm-hmm.
a person's name is really quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very defining because it identifies your culture. It may identify, you know, family. It may identify places of origin. You know, when we named our child, I mean, we specifically that name meant something.
She is a black queen.
Yeah. When, you know, one
she
of the,
was named after a black queen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The King of England or the United Kingdom, they have a their initial name, and then when they become king or queen, mm-hmm. they change their name.
So the names signify something. It's not just random in many, many areas. So what you call, and it makes me kind of go back to Itmo, and remember I mentioned when Itmo had her son, his nickname was not derogatory.
No.
It was, and I don't think people meant it in a derogatory way. Let me also say that. But there's a connotation with your name being, you know, Itmo, like she always gonna eat some mo.
That is.
There's kind of, but her is. Her name, her son's nickname was Professor, and so that's what I mentioned last week too. That I thought it was interesting that she went the opposite direction with his nickname.
You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Today, folks, we're talking about the topic of who am I, as it relates to your identity. And at the present, we're talking about your name, your individual name. Brain research and neuroscientists, I learned.
Uh-oh, what you got?
Yeah, look here, Dr. Funderburg, I am still waiting on my honorary degree. That's right. I want my honorary degree. But until I get it, I'm still going to fight for it. But no, seriously, though, neuroscience has showing us if someone medically is in some type of, let's say a coma or something, you know, they may, if, you know, where they are non-responsive, just hearing their name can stimulate the brain and to the neural, you know, things in your head, the neurons.
Neuro stuff
is happening. I don't know what that is, y'all. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's something happening.
Do you remember that happened with Daddy?
You know what? I didn't.
I don't know if you were with me or if it was just me and Mama. And there was a health event, and I think they were thinking he was about out of here then because they could not get any response out of him. And so they transferred him to ICU.
Wow.
And Mama and I were like, okay, what's going on? You know, we went in to see him and he was gone. He was not in that room anymore. And so, you know, that's never good when you walk in to see somebody. And so we walked into his ICU room and I said, "Hey, Daddy." And he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Nan." And the nurse about fell over.
Oh, wow.
Because he had not responded to them.
Wow. So it's interesting in that a person's name, just the name itself, I mean, just hearing their name. And of course, your name refers, and a lot of situations, refers to a person's identity.
Yes.
And how you even identify who you are.
Because by me saying, "Hey, Daddy," he knew it was one of two people, right? It was either me or my sister. And so, you know, he could see that it was me. So, and he loved his position of father, of daddy.
But,
so
But see, this is the interesting part, though. Because, see, that's interesting. As you dig deeper into it, and we're thinking about how do we respond to our names, or relate to our identity, and how does that relate to mental wellness or mental health?
Mm-hmm.
It has a huge impact.
I agree, because it kind of floors me if I really think about that for too long. They could not get any response out of him, and it wasn't like he was sitting there being obstinate,
right?
Because they were doing the whole, they do like a hand drop thing.
Right,
they'll pull your hand up.
And it would drop.
And they'll just drop it on your face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to respond to that. And he did not respond to that. But when I walked in and said, "Daddy," he said, "Hey, Nan."
Right. But see, so that means a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, calling me Daddy,
mm-hmm.
it can stimulate your mind in the natural. Right now,
it did something.
Until I actually had my own daughter, of course, Charlotte, which is only 3 years ago, I always wanted to be called Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted, you know, my friends, my cousins, my own brothers, they had somebody calling them Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, until I became my own Daddy, I got that name.
Daddy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I felt like I wasn't the true, you know, like the man.
Mm.
You know, it meant something.
It wasn't true that you weren't the man,
but
it felt that way.
Right, because for some people, having that name, let's say for some people, if, you know, a lot of times, traditionally speaking, a young lady will change her last name to her husband's name. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not tradition, American tradition, that is. And for some ladies, they may be wanting, I want a man's name. And until they get that name, they may not feel complete. They may not feel like I'm a woman.
Now, that ain't, we know that's not everybody, y'all. Don't come for my husband.
Right.
Okay.
But that's right. It's only some. But for those that have, and some of you that are listening, you might feel like, you know what? When I, you know, there's certain things that with a name, that's a part of my identity.
Well, our names are definitely, it colors who you are, whatever the name is, you know, whether you're talking about a last name or whether you're talking about a nickname or whether you're talking about a, you know, a first name. I was thinking about how a friend of mine, you know, playfully go back and forth on the grits debate. You know what the grits debate is, right?
Look, you in the South. As I know, grits, only thing good grits is where put a little bit of butter and some salt on that sucker.
But that's part of the debate, right?
Okay, what you got there?
Because there's some people, some, like, I don't know, these must be Martians or something, because they put sugar in their grits. Can you believe it? Okay, I know somebody trying to come for me now.
Man,
because
that's right.
That's the big debate, right? Some people are gonna, you know, are like team sugar. Other people are team salt in their grits. I think everybody is team butter, though. Both are team butter. Yeah. But I was thinking about it, you know, and I said, you know, without those spices, whichever spice you choose, the grits themselves are pretty bland. Right. They're pretty just nondescript. They really don't have much of a flavor until you put that thing on it. Right. So I think we are like, this is a Southernism here.
That is.
We're like grits.
Oh, my goodness.
We are like grits.
I never thought of myself as a grit.
Kids are like grits. We're like grits. And that is, you know, they come out the way you flavor them.
Oh, see, now you trying to be deep now. Man. See, I was just thinking about slapping it, maybe putting a little bit of toast with it, and I'm getting down. But you saying, say that, seriously, though, say that one more time.
Because they are nondescript. You know, they're fairly flavorless when you don't put anything on it. But you put, you know, you put, my mama puts bouillon in it.
Well, your mama's bougie.
Bouillon is not bougie.
No, well, you know, look. It can be.
You eat them grits that she makes.
Look, mother-in-law is country bougie because she's straight from the country.
Yeah, both of them. But it's delicious. So bouillon leans salt, right?
Right.
And there are also those other folks that lean sugar. Hey, Stacy.
But you know, so then let me ask you this question. Then, so when you think about it, then some people, as it relates to their identity as a person, as an individual, this is what this person is known for.
Yeah. So the sugar grits, they're known for being sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The salt grits, they're known for being a little more savory. So you're known for which kind of spicy are you going to be, right? Because some of us are a little spicy out there. We can get a little spicy sometimes. But what is your spice, right? And it depends on what was put on you, what label was put on you.
So,
go ahead.
You know, so when you think about it like this, Dr. Funnenberg, you know, we all have identities. Mm-hmm. We all have a personal brand.
Yes.
And so when you think about the workplace, think about that workplace, your coworker or your colleague. You all might have somebody, everybody knows. When you start bringing up this particular person's name, every time you bring up so-and-so, here they go.
Yeah, everybody kind of either, They dig in and like sit back because they know, okay, so-and-so's talking. They're going to be talking for a while.
That's right. Because that's what they know. Everybody knows. Or everybody knows so-and-so is always late.
So-and-so's always late. So-and-so's always funny. the comic relief.
That's right. See, every time Uncle Joe, he's supposed to bring the banana pudding to the family reunion.
Uh-huh.
But he never shows up with the banana pudding. Or maybe he was supposed to. You know what?
What?
Aunt Kathy said, look, Uncle Joe,
you going to get in trouble. Y'all, it's not me. It's him saying this.
So you're supposed to bring the cups. But Uncle Joe don't show up with the cups until the very end of the event.
You get that late. But Uncle Joe doesn't get that late.
But everybody knows this particular person. Mm-hmm. That's their identity.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. You're listening to How You Live, Show About Life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. This is a light day, y'all, but we're still a series, though, because we're talking about
our identity. And it matters.
Yeah, yeah.
It matters.
Uh-huh. Because, okay, let me ask this question. And this is really, we're getting to the, I guess, the seriousness of it.
Mm-hmm.
How does trauma,
mm-hmm.
okay, and trauma that we might have experienced, be it abused, of domestic violence, it may be some type of community abuse, a mm-hmm. loss of a loved one, mm-hmm. how does that impact our identity?
Yeah, it can absolutely impact how you see yourself. I can remember hearing a lady speak on YouTube, and she was talking about an assault that happened to her as a high school student. And, you know, she was completely, it should not have happened. And so she was assaulted, and it you know, prior to the assault, she was fun loving and, you know, all of these types of those, that type of person, fun loving, fun to be around,
mm-hmm.
Just sweet person. And after that, she was not so fun loving anymore. She was,
wow.
It was a sexual assault that this person, the way this person was assaulted. And so after the sexual assault, she figured, oh my goodness, well, you know, I'm used up. I'm broken. Which was not true. Which was not true.
Yeah, that's right.
And she found that out later in life. But she felt like, well, you know, who's going to want to be with me now? I'm broken. I'm used right. goods again, which was not true. And so she became a little more promiscuous,
mm-hmm.
a lot more promiscuous. And then she got pregnant. She was not married. She was in a very faith-filled family. And so that was kind of a big thing. And I don't think anybody knew about the sexual assault. And so they just are thinking, oh my goodness, she's wilding out now, when in actuality there was an impetus to this shifted behavior. And so it was like in her, the way she saw herself in her mind changed.
Right, right.
You know, that she placed some labels on herself, which didn't have to be there. But when you are violated in that type of way, I can see how your mind might start thinking things that are not true about yourself. And it shifted her identity, which then shifted her behavior, which then shifted her life.
Wow. It's so important as caregivers, as parents, aunties, uncles, that we feed, especially into young and old, you know, mm-hmm. your name, your identity means something.
Yes. What you call yourself
right.
means something.
Right. Because, see, now, and so sometimes we identify ourselves through other people and through their lens.
Mm-hmm.
But what about, how do you view yourself?
Yeah. Because after that traumatic event that was no fault of her own, she called herself by different names.
Right. Right. And see, you know, and again, we were talking, we were laughing, and we were joking in the beginning, but this particular topic is so serious, because
absolutely.
If you're not seeing yourself as successful or as yourself as complete, whole, if you don't mm-hmm. see yourself as a particular type of person, you might just have a negative self-esteem, negative self-confidence. Dr. Funderburg,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, mm-hmm. I struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. it's something about, you know, I remember growing up, I had a stuttering problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuttering problem, it really lasts, well, I don't know if it's visual or audibly, until at least my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a negative self-esteem about myself
mm-hmm.
because of my my stuttering. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember back when you were in elementary school, fifth, sixth grade, mm-hmm. and you used to do a lot of reading aloud. Mm-hmm. You know, kids would go around and you would read a paragraph and that kind of thing.
You were placed in groups based on your reading abilities.
Well, yes, but not, I wasn't trying to go that, down
oh,
that.
Oh, sorry.
What I was looking at, you know, you would count the number of paragraphs. I would count the number of paragraphs.
No.
And so I would say, oh, I'm the fifth person, so I got to do the fifth paragraph. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I was like, oh, man, I stutter. I'm a stutterer. And so I was so anxious at that it challenged me. And of course, I was thinking, oh, man, she's going to, you know, I would get excited when it ended. The class ended before it got to me.
Oh, yeah. But look at that. Look at what was happening there. You were so anxious because the label you placed on yourself, the identity you placed on yourself was, I'm a stutterer. So now I'm counting the paragraphs down based on how many, you know, paragraphs
That's right.
are there and how many people are in the classroom to see what paragraph am I going to read so I can now start practicing my paragraph.
That's right.
Now, but the whole point of reading that is to have some level of comprehension.
That's right.
So now you're now missing the paragraphs that were before,
yeah.
which potentially, I don't know, potentially you could have been tested on that material, but you missed it.
There you go.
Because your identity said, I'm a stutterer and I need to go practice.
Wow.
So I'm not even hearing this other stuff that I'm going to be, you know, or I potentially would be tested on. So the identity, gosh, just that identity as a stutterer really, you know, had you twisted up.
Yeah, I was twisted. Okay, let me, again, we only got but a couple more minutes. But
okay.
Let me look at this from another perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe, and this is not me because I wasn't an athlete, but mm-hmm. maybe I was known for being the star football player in high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was maybe the running back, the quarterback, or maybe, you know, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, 20 years later,
mm-hmm.
you at your 10-year reunion, your 20-year reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Man, back in the day, I was the man. I was like really doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you may not have that. You don't have that same shape. You don't mm-hmm. you know, work out like that. You don't even play ball like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I was stuck in the fact that I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
I was a certain person, a certain identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was Mr. Eagle or Mr. Panther or Mr. Aggie.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's no longer Mr., but it's Buster. It's like, man,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. See, you don't bust loose. You know,
yeah.
you don't have that. And so yeah. now I look at myself as from an identity perspective
mm-hmm.
as something negative
mm-hmm.
because, and I'm saying this to say, we look at identity and how you perceive yourself is just so important.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, you know, we got to continue to work and we got to continue to build on positive imaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Furnenberg, man,
mm-hmm.
we got 30 seconds and we really got to go.
Okay. So, what then? I'm piggybacking off what that last thing you just said. We really have to make sure that our identity is built in something permanent, something positive, something lasting, and not in things that could be changing or negative. So you got to check that. What is your identity in? Is your identity in your job? Is your identity in, you know, I'm the football player, I'm the basketball player, I'm the track star, I'm the whatever. Is your identity in I'm so-and-so's daughter or whatever? What is your identity in? Check that and make sure that it's something that you can lean on forever and ever. That's a whole other we could go into, right? But we got to go. I'm so glad y'all are with us today or were with us today. If you have comments or questions, make sure that you're messaging us on WNAAFM@NCAT.edu. And as always, join us next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all. Bye-bye.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA-FM invites your feedback. So give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA-FM HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA-FM HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.